Okay, tech issues may be solved. If you're listening to this, let me know if you can hear anything. Sorry about that. I don't know what is going on. Okay, I think that this is working now. But if you are a friend and you are listening, you can send me a text to let me know that you can hear. And I'm going to play a song in the meantime to figure some stuff out.
I'll never know what you find when you open up your letterbox tomorrow. Cause a little bird never told me anything I want to know. She's my best friend, she's a sparrow. Never, never know what you never, never, never want to know when you know what you are. Oh. If I had a pair of eyes in the back of my head for each time, you forgot to take out all the things you forgot to talk about when you took a bite out of my spine. I would have a lot of eyes on the other side, wouldn't I? Wouldn't that just be fine?
Okay, sorry for the technical difficulties, but welcome to Midwave Radio. You are listening to Big Little Questions with Dee Dee Klianski. And here is, oh, I can hear an echo, echo, echo. Hopefully the sound quality is good for you. Thank you to everyone who texted me to tell me that it's working. Cool. Okay, so sorry. For the next hour or so, you're going to be listening to Big Little Questions, and the concept of the show is this. I have a lot of questions, and some of them are big, and some of them are little. And every night for the last 2-ish years, I've written down a question at the beginning and end of journaling, and every week on the show I'm going to be talking to a friend or two about a question or two. So you can tune in live, which some of you are doing right now, or you can listen later at midwaveradio.com. All broadcasts should be up pretty soon. And if you're listening live, rumor has it there's a chat function, so play with that if you want. This is week two of the show. Last week I talked with my dear friend Joanna, and I was planning to ask her at the end of the show what a question is that she has been thinking about. But I didn't have time. Rookie mistake. So I asked her afterwards, and before we move on, I want to share her question. Actually, two questions that she texted me afterwards. One is, why are people assholes? And the other is how to think about life now as something that I'm living and not just something that I'm stuck in, reaching the end of the way that this was, like, in some ways a positive experience for you, or not a wholly negative experience, rather, for Ioana. How do I make it the best that it can be right now, and how can I be living instead of waiting? Which, sorry to tease you, not the question that we will be talking about today. Today my guest is my dear friend Ellen. Ellen, you can go ahead and unmute if you're here. See if we can hear you. Ellen, can you try saying something? Ellen, hello. Ellen, no, I cannot hear you. Ha, another tech problem. What a delight. Weird. Okay. Hang on one second, please. Everything worked like a dream last week, so I don't know what is going on. Oh no. Okay, friends, one moment. We're gonna We're going to do something that is suboptimal, but that hopefully works. And if you're a midwave person and you're listening and you can help me troubleshoot, that would be great. Hello? No, I can't hear you. Are you muted? Okay, guys, we're going to do this old school. I'm going to call Ellen on my phone, and we're just going to do it that way. It's my secret backup. And here we go. What about this? Can you hear us now, people on the internet? Hello.
Actually could be remotely helpful
during that. Hello. What about now? I'm so sad. Oh no. Okay, you can hear us now. Okay, great.
Okay.
Okay, cool. Ellen, you might just have to, this is annoying, but you might just have to talk loud-ish and try saying something. Okay, great. I'm so sad. Okay. Anyway, yes, we just talked about Ioana's question. That's not the question that we are talking about today. Today, our guest is Ellen. And Ellen is my dear, dear friend. We have known each other for 11 years almost. And we met when we were both spellers in the National Spelling Bee, the Scripps National Spelling Bee in Washington, D.C. I was in 7th grade. Ellen was in 8th grade. And we became friends. We really became friends like a little over a year later, I think. But one reason, so I'll share why I'm excited to have Ellen here, and then Ellen, I'll let you introduce yourself. But Ellen, I'm excited to have Ellen here for two reasons. One is that Ellen, I love your brain. I love to talk to you about things. I have for a decade. So that's exciting that you're going to be here for that. And then the other reason is that Ellen and I, we do talk on the phone, and we have seen each other in person since then. But actually our like maybe primary or at least up there mode of communicating with each other is that we write each other letters like a couple times a year, except for I've been really bad, but a couple times a year, usually used to be like these long, long, long letters about like, what are we thinking about and what are we doing and all that kind of thing. And we've had some other like non-traditional modes of communication. Like we used to regularly leave each other like lengthy voicemails, just about like what we were thinking about. And so I'm excited to have a two-way conversation with someone who I'm used to getting your thoughts and used to sharing my thoughts, but not necessarily in a format like this. So that's my introduction for why I'm excited to have you here. Do you have anything you want to say as also a test for if people can hear you well?
I was also going to say the sessions, I love your brain.
Love it.
Which is kind of fun. It has been such a like joy and insight to be able to like read your thought processes for the past 10 years. So, and I think it's also important to note that the voicemails did cut off after 3 minutes, and I would call back and like continue the thought.
Yeah.
Which is like the least effective way to communicate with someone, but
yeah, I loved it. It was great. We would leave each other like 10 voice. It was like you'd wake up and have like 10 voicemails, and like, yeah. Okay, so I'm hearing from people that they can't hear you and you are quiet, which is not your fault. It is the fault of whatever is going on here. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna try one more time to make it work to call you on this thing. And otherwise, we're going to give up and do it this way. So,
all right, I believe.
All right, me too. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, everybody. Okay. Ay, 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 ay. Let's see. Thank you to all my tech beta testers out there on the internet. Ellen? No. I'm gonna cry. Microphone, external microphone, output. Zoom mixer audio link. Select source. Microphone. What about now? Oh, shit. I mean, sorry, I'm not supposed to swear on it. Oh, no. Okay. So sad. Okay. All right. I'm going to give up. Yeah. Okay. Okay. All right, everyone. I'm gonna talk quieter so that you can turn your volume all the way up so that you can hear Ellen, hopefully. Ellen, you're just gonna shout. I don't know. So yeah. Okay. That's what we're gonna do. Okay. So you added what you wanted to add. So we went through some questions and we decided that this week we are going to aim to talk about two on air and ideally have them be like pretty different from each other. But we'll see. And we are going to same as last week, kind of choose them live on air. Just so that, really the reason here is that there were a lot of questions that we were excited to talk about, and then we were like, the stakes feel higher of like choosing wrong than of just like, oh, like this is what the random number picker told us to talk about. So I'm going to generate random number, so we boiled it down to 9 questions, and the answer here, or the question here that we are going to start to talk about is, how much, ooh, Ellen, okay, number 3. How much of physical feats equals willpower? Like, could I, given enough food or sleep, etc., bike up any hill? Is the question. And, I want, you were the one who, like, bolded this question, so maybe you can start by saying why you were excited about this.
Yeah, it's definitely a question that I have asked myself in multiple situations. You know this about me. I love to hike and bike and do yoga and whatever. And I feel like I often, like, I trust that my body can do those, like, whatever thing I ask it to do. And then I'll be, like, in the middle of a really long hike and be like, I was wrong. I cannot
yeah.
do this.
Yeah.
But, I don't think I've ever, like, put this question specifically into words the way that you have. So it was interesting to see that, you know, to see it written out like this.
Yeah. And so as I think about this, I'm trying to remember like when I would have written this.
I was gonna ask what.
Yeah.
What
okay. Let me look actually. Let's see. Physical feats. Okay, so this is May. Ooh, okay. I think I know exactly when this was. This is on May 1st, 2019. Also, if you're listening and you're like, why are all the questions from 2019? Ellen, I'm hearing some like wind or rubbing against the mic noise.
I am too.
Okay, I don't know what that is. But I'll try to avoid it. This was on May 1st, 2019. All the questions are from 2019 because those are the only ones that I've typed out or like written out yet. So I just haven't gotten around to the rest of them. So far, all the questions are going to be chosen from there. And this was a day that I took a really long bike ride over a lot of hills in Berkeley. And I just remember being like, I couldn't do this alone. The only reason that I can do this is because I'm with people who like both can do this and like fully expect that I will do this. And so that is why I'm going to be able to do this. Like I wouldn't be able to get myself to do this alone. So, curious if that, like, you as a person who hikes and does like physical things, is one version of this question is like, what, like, do you ever encounter that? And number two, like, what is your relationship to willpower in general?
Well, first, yes, I have the same exact experience, especially with things that, like, I wouldn't necessarily, well, that I wouldn't really choose to do for myself. Like, hiking is one thing, but I don't enjoy running, and it's harder for me than hiking. But one of my roommates in Virginia, like, really does like to run and will often invite me to go for runs with her, or would when I was in Virginia. But I wouldn't always want to say yes, but, like, would.
Mm-hmm.
Would, because I knew I would feel good if I did it, and it was a challenge. And we would run, like, 3 or 4 miles, and I would feel okay doing it. Like, I mean, I would be struggling towards the end. It was a challenge for sure, but, like, I could do it. And then I would try, a week or two later to run that same course that we'd done that I, like, knew that I could do, but, like, could not do it. Like,
mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I would get a mile and be like, I can't do mm-hmm. this. My body is giving up. I can't do it. And so I'll just stop and walk. And so, I mean, I think that's also sort of a clear answer to there is definitely a strong willpower has a strong impact on it, because I knew that I could physically do it. I had done it before.
So thinking about, either in a physical context or just in general, like, do you think of yourself as a person who has a lot of willpower?
I feel like this is not a satisfactory answer, but it really depends on the thing that I'm doing. And so maybe that really just means that the answer is no, because if it's only in situations where it's something that I want to be doing already, how much of that is really willpower?
Yeah.
Is willpower, like, only to do something that I don't want to do otherwise? Like, I don't think so.
When do you call it in? When are you like, I'm going to draw from this well of will to do whatever kind of thing? Like, what is the kind of thing situation?
I think that depends on, I think it depends on the stage. Like, what do I want to get out of it?
Mm.
You know, if it's just a 4 mile run, then I'm like, it doesn't matter if I stop and take a break and walk for a few minutes after a mile and then, like, run a little bit and stop. Because, like, ultimately I'm going the same distance. Like, it doesn't really, you know what I mean? There's no stakes. Yeah. It doesn't really matter. But I'm trying to think of a good example, but it's a thing where, like, at the end, I really want something to get out of it, or, like, know that it's a step to something else I have to do. Then I think I have a pretty, actually, maybe I don't have willpower.
Well, that's what I'm. This is maybe feeding the sharks here. I don't know if that's a real expression, but it makes sense to me. But what about with, like, okay, actually, this is definitely feeding the sharks. Because someone,
sure, I think I do have willpower.
No, I was going to say, because someone just texted and said, we want to hear about spelling. So I'm going to just go ahead and ask, like, that can be the example, but for a thing like that, like, did you study?
No, I really didn't. And I had some resources and support to study. My next door neighbor, who's a close family friend, like, made me these amazing binders in, like, were laminated, like, word families and Latin roots and all this stuff, because she's a Latin teacher by trade. And so she, like, gave me these really great resources, and I simply did not do it. Really not much.
Real,
and I think that's also because, I think it comes down to stakes, to in a sense.
Yeah.
Because I didn't expect to win the spelling bee,
yeah,
no matter how much.
Right.
Like, I didn't go in with any illusions of victory. So I was like, honestly, why bother?
I think that this question is, actually, this is funny because this answer relates to another one of the questions that we put on our shortlist, but I think that the time in my life when I, like, thought about, like the word willpower appeared in my thoughts the most frequently was, I think, in, like, various times in high school when I was, like, both very sad and also felt like I, this relates to food, felt like I was just, like, didn't have control over, like, what I was eating, and eating was really, like, not, I mean, I don't, maybe this, I don't know, but yeah, I haven't thought about this out loud yet, but, like, I think was just a time when, like, food and eating was some, was, felt like the source of, like, both lots of comfort and, like, very little control. And I just remember, and the reason I think of it right now is because I just remember thinking all the time about, like, okay, and knowing at the time that this was, like, putting me on, like, or, like, could potentially put me on a problematic path, which, like, I don't think it did, but of, like, oh, I need to, like, have the willpower to, like, not, you know, like, eat all this junk food or, like, eat this shitty thing or, like, whatever it was. And so, yeah, I feel like that, and I feel like since then, because I have that association that that was, like, a very unhealthy thing or, like, unhealthy way for me to be thinking about it, I feel like I have tried over time to use different, or, like, to, yeah, to think in different words about, like, what it is that I'm trying to get at. Like, I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it does. I think for me, a lot of what factors into whether or not I, like, I employ what I think of as willpower is how much do I, like, want to change this, like, either change this behavior or, like, accomplish this thing. And so, like, I, like, pick at my skin constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And I've, like, tried many times to stop it and just, like, have not. And, like, don't. And I think I just, like, don't care enough to really put in the effort. Like, I'm sure I don't know if I'm sure that I can, but I probably could stop, like, break this habit. People break habits.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? But I don't know. I think it's maybe a combination of people telling me that I should stop doing it. Being like, well, what? I don't care. Why?
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, on a, maybe, like, a scale that impacts my, like, day-to-day life more right now, I'm eligible for a promotion at work, and I just have to do this one fairly minor task to, like, check the last box to be like, okay, now we can submit the promotion. And I, like, just don't do it. I, like, haven't done it for weeks. And I, like, it would be fairly easy to do, but, my, you know, mixed feelings about working and the job, and do I want to, like, continue moving up this chain? I, I want the promotion. Like, to make more money, but
can you tell what is your job, and, like, why, like, if you want to say the brief, like, why mixed feelings?
I'm a Syria research specialist for a government contractor, and I have a lot of mixed feelings about the U.S. government.
Period. The U.S. government. Hard stop.
In my life, or if I want to do something completely different. So I will do this thing, and I think I will, you know, check this box, but coming up with the willpower to do it when I don't really care about it or want to do it has been a struggle.
When you don't have, in fact, the will to do it, and so, like, okay, a couple of things. One is that, maybe you know, maybe you don't, but I, like, really big news in my life is I recently have stopped, for the most part, like, 80% stopped biting my nails, and that's really huge. And I think thinking about the relationship between control and willpower, and, like, I don't think I did anything different from previous times that I've tried to stop, and who knows if this will stick. I don't know if I did anything differently, but I... And every time people have asked, like, oh, like, how did you do it this time? Like, you've been biting your nails for 17 years. I'm like, yeah, I just had to tell myself that I actually wanted to, which is such an unsatisfying answer for myself, because I'm like, well, What, like, how did I decide to tell myself that I want to? Which gets to something else that I think about a lot, and maybe you and I have talked about, which is that, like, the place where I get stuck, including maybe this relates to the job thing, like the place where I get stuck in getting myself to do things is like wanting to want to. Like, once I want to do something, then I can get it done, right? I can, like, stop biting my nails, or I can, like, click the thing on the promotion, or, like, whatever it is. But it's really difficult for me to, if I'm not already there, it's really, like, the place where I really don't know how to, like, move myself is in, like, wanting to want to get to that point. I don't know if that, yeah.
Yeah, interestingly, I was just having that sort of same conversation, well, similar conversation with another one of my very good friends last weekend about the difference between wanting to do something and wanting to do something.
What'd you land on?
The question was just whether that's beneficial, like, you know, how is it useful to, like, spend time, like, dwelling on wanting to want mm-hmm. things? Sometimes, yeah, I mean, like, sometimes yes and sometimes no. Sometimes I just can't bring myself to want to do that thing.
Or yeah.
Want to do that thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to pause and say that it's 9:30 Chicago time. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Midwave Radio. You're listening to Big Little Questions. I'm your host, Didi Kliansky. I'm here with my guest, Ellen, my friend, Ellen. And we are experimenting this week with two things. Well, three things. One is technical issues. That's a fun experiment. Number two is talking about two questions in the hour instead of just one, and seeing if that feels rushed or if that feels good or whatever. And the third thing is, like, balancing different kinds of questions. So last week was very heavily, like, friendship and how do people, like, people's minds, and I guess all the questions are, but I don't know, just, like, thinking about, like different, yeah, different kinds of questions. So we are, in a moment, going to, as Ellen put it, hard pivot to a different question. But before we do that, I want to ask what, like, yeah, any, and I think it will feel abrupt, but we're just going to roll with it. Any other thoughts on this thing that you want to share that feel like threads that you want to tug on?
Nope, I'm done thinking about this forever. Something else.
Honestly? No, but I actually do think it's really good, because I think I've been trying to figure out, like, the categories of questions, and, like, oh, are some questions question, like, I don't know. I think whether or not something is, like, fruitful to talk about depends on, like, lots and lots of factors, and I think whatever. Lots of thoughts.
Yeah.
Okay, but I'm gonna turn us. I have already pressed the random number picker thingy.
Oh my god.
And disappointingly, the question is not, do you really need to eat 8 grams of protein per lean pound daily in order to gain muscle, which I don't even know why that was on there, but no, that wasn't actually a contender, but it was one of my questions. But the question...
Would I have the willpower to eat 8 grams
exact,
of protein
yes, exactly.
per lean pound?
The question that we have landed on is... definitely is a different tone, and is... how do you cope with dystopia? So just, you know, 25 minutes to get into the central question of all of our daily lives these days. And this question, I really am not sure what was going, like, why I was thinking about this then. It's from the end of July of that year of 2019. And I was in Iowa. I was working on the Warren campaign. I don't think I thought that was particularly dystopic. So I don't really have context for this question, but yeah, I'm curious why this, like, what is your relationship to this question?
that's a really big question.
Yeah.
In July 2019, not that it has really anything to do with the question, but I think I was, like, in the midst of preparing to move from Boston to DC for this new job.
Yeah.
So, I don't really think that has anything to do with dystopia, but just an interesting to think about
context. Yeah, sure.
At that point, because I'm interested, like, what not to answer your question with another question.
No, like, please.
What form of dystopia are you, like, comes to mind for you? Like, I think for, like, I'm curious what that means, you know what I mean? Like, what aspect of your life?
I think that this question feels resonant in the, like, in the quotidian dystopia, in the, like, what, like, you know, some in some, like, as I've been looking through these old questions, there's some days where I'll write something like about a really bad news event or something, like, how did, you know, such and such thing happen? And then my other question will be like, will so and so ever be my friend? And then my third question will be like, how do those questions even exist on the same plane? And I think that that's both life and a reflection of, like, I don't know, there's so much to talk about here about, like we are inundated constant. I think you, did you read Trick Mirror, Gia Tolentino?
Yeah.
Right, so, like, we're inundated constantly with, like, bad things about the world. And on the one hand, that's, you know, good because we can know what is going on. But on the other hand, we are just, like, it puts us, it's a very clear path from there to the, like, this, like, cycle of inaction and all that kind of stuff. So that's, like, one kind of thing is that, like, there's actual dystopia. I mean, there are actual, like, dystopian things happening and, like, bad things in, you know, our government and others, and our world and others. And then there's also, like, our response to that, which is that, like, we a lot of time don't feel like we have that much control, and also, like, it's like, I still have to ask myself my question about will so-and-so be my friend, and, like, the dissonance between those feels like the space of dystopia for me. I don't know. Yeah.
I think, well, as I mentioned before, I'm a Syria researcher, and so I feel like I spend a lot of my day, or, like, at least work day, work week, in, like, a specific dystopia, not to just be like, you know, Syria, horrible things, because, like, there are a lot of, like, beautiful and obviously wonderful things about Syria, but, like, what I focus on and what the news is and what people want to know about is like the just, like, absolute horrors that were. Next month is the 10-year anniversary of the civil war in Syria, and at this point, like, it's been going on, it's been dragging on for 10 years. And people, I think, largely, it's not the thing that it was in, you know, 2011, 2012, when the democratic spring was happening in the Arab world, and it's just this, like, horrible thing that is easier to not think about. Like, there are still, like, the same horrible things that are happening there as were happening in 2012, 2013, 2014, 2015. And it's, like, it is weird to, like, open my computer at 8 in the morning and, like, like, jump into that for, you know, 8 hours. And then at 4 o'clock, I close it and I stop thinking about Syria and whatever is happening there.
Yeah.
And, like, start thinking about, I don't know, something, you know, Twitter or food or...
Well, can I ask exactly that question? Like, what, like, as someone who... where, like, you feel like you're... The thing that you do for, like, a plurality of your day, at least, is, like... be, I don't know if you feel inundated, but, like, be certainly, like, constantly aware of, like, a particular difficult reality. Like, what is your relationship to, like, your outside of that hours? Like, are you, like, less inclined to, I don't know. Do you know what I'm asking? I can ask it better.
I think I do. Okay. Asking. Like, I have no really, I don't know about no, but a lot less capacity for like, world news than I used to have. It's always been, like, I studied international relations.
Yeah.
I've always been really interested in it, and still am, but I think not that I, like, spend my time focusing on that. I know way less about what's happening in the rest of the world. That's not, like, Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, because I just don't really have the willpower. Energy, or, like, the interest, really, I would feel bad saying that, but, like, to be aware of what's happening, like, the injustices and corruption that's happening in other parts of the world, often here as well, even though I do try helps and hurts my, you know, efforts to know what's happening in the United States, because I don't want to be like an unengaged person, but I do think it like it's specific to, you know, what to not being able to really go deep on like what authoritarian governments are doing to their citizens that is not Syria and not happening between the hours of 8 a.m. and 4 p.m.
Mm-hmm. How does that being like all the things that you just described, like, because you've been talking about other parts of the world, how does that change your relationship to like politics or the U.S. and like what is happening? Also, I want to give a listener context here, which is, or not context, but like fun thing, which is that in our letters to each other, which often are like 15 or 20 pages long, Ellen and I, we don't do this so much anymore, but we used to have these, like, we would put like a subheading that was called like thoughts on the world. And I feel like when that stopped, it was because we realized that like actually everything that we are writing, even if it's just like about ourselves or our lives, is like kind of our thoughts on the world. Like, we don't really need to make a, like, it used to be a section for like what's happening in other parts of the world. I think that also kind of collapsed into itself when it was like, oh, but like the world is also what's happening around us, both personally and nationally. Like, it's not like over there. So just to give kind of that little morsel. But yeah.
I think thoughts on the world probably like started really when I'm like in 2011-ish, when we, like right around when we started writing letters, is when the civil war in Syria started. And I was like, you know, aware of that so much at the time.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm paying attention to Syria.
Right, and I remember
like,
being.
Oh my god, I'm paying attention to Syria.
Right. I remember being so always so impressed. Where I was like, oh, Ellen like really knows. Ellen really has like thoughts on the world and like knows what is going on in the world. Yeah.
And now 10 years later, I have zero.
That is
zero thoughts.
So
on the
clearly
world.
Not true, but we're wait. Go ahead. Go ahead.
About the United States. So, I mean, like, the maybe aspirational answer and, like, the one that I hope is true is that I am, like, more aware of what's happening here, you know, in the United States. And I'm, like, trying really to be, like, an engaged person because I think there's a benefit in that, and, like, I want to, you know, do all the, like, I want to help make the United States a more just and equitable place. And the way to, like, do that is to know what is happening, or at least that's at least part of it. And I don't know if this job, more broadly, like, working in the international relations realm is the, like, path that I want to continue following. And if it's not, really what I've been strongly interested in is like food access and equity and justice in the United States. So thinking about like changing career paths and like whether or not my, you know, your career needs to be something that I really like place a high sort of like moral priority on. I'm not sure. I think I would like it to be that, but I think I fall into the trap of dividing what's happening in the United States from like what's happening in the rest of the world, even though, as you said, like thoughts on the world is just what's happening around us. Like, I read in the fall, Freedom is a Constant Struggle by Angela Davis. And it, like, that really is like, no struggle is like separate from other struggles. Like, what's happening in the United States is part of a broader narrative and context of what happens all across the world. Like, we can't really separate. We can take them in the context of each country and each culture, and that's important, but they're not, like, they're not discrete.
Yeah. So also, yay, thank you to the people who just told me that Ellen just got much louder. I just changed the position in a way that I think makes more sense. So they could hear you until now a little bit worse, and they can hear you now much better, it seems like.
Okay, cool.
So just to let you know. And again, I'm so sorry to myself and to Ellen and to all of you for these technical difficulties. But yes, okay, what was I going to say? Oh yeah, so like, seems like I'm going to make a generalization and you can tell me if this feels true. Part of your relation, part of how you cope with dystopia, you personally, is like compartmentalizing. There's like, I mean, which I think we all do, right? But like, is like that it, like the particular dystopia that is your, that part of that is your job to think about and to look at, happens in specific hours. And then like outside of that, you know, is not.
I look at other dystopias. Yeah,
right. Right.
Yeah. No, I think that's true. And I also like, I feel like I feel bad feeling bad about spending, you know, 8 hours a day reading depressing things about Syria, because like, no matter what, that is a lot better than like what the people who are in Syria
sure.
are experiencing. Like, you know what I mean? It's like a minor, thing.
It's like the thing of like, it's like the thing of like, like Instagram fatigue. Like I have, what were the things? Like infographic fatigue versus
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I am, yeah, sure.
Yes.
Yes. And I think that that's something that I've been thinking about a lot here, where like, I, wait, did I write to you about this? Social media and things like that? Things like that. Just that I think.
I think you did, yeah.
Yeah, you can see she pays so much attention to my 20-page letters. I just can't automatically recall everything that's in them. No, but I was going to say that I think there is what I have been thinking about lately, really not a hot take here, but that there is like surely something that is some balance that is better and that is more optimal than the like oscillating that I feel like I am often and most often doing, which is between the like, I have to be like everything, many things feel dystopian, and like I, for whatever reasons of like, well, we can get into that, but like I have to be like super aware of all of those things, and because otherwise I'm being like willfully ignorant and negligent and all other things that sound like that. That on the one hand, and then on the other hand, being like, I can't, it actually, I'm like similar to what Gia Tolentino says in that first essay of Trick Mirror, is like, I am just being inundated. It is not actually increasing my capacity to do anything about it or to do anything for the people around me. And I just have to stop. And like, what I feel like right now is I'm like a sine graph, and I'm like just like waving up and down. And what I want to be better at and what I want to understand better is like, what is the amount of intake that is that like makes me a person who is aware and understand where I me Didi need to be like tapped in and doing like my work in the world, and what is the point past which it's like actually like this is decreasing my ability to like be there for the world and the people around me, because I'm just so overwhelmed. And yeah, is that like, I feel like we've talked about this a little bit before, but I'm curious your thoughts on like that, the dialectic. No.
Yeah, I mean, I feel the same way. There's definitely it reaches a point in scrolling where it's like, I'm not gaining anything from this. If anything, I am like actively losing from doing this. But I think for me anyway, these are not things that I do per se, but they're things that I try to do and try to be conscious of in my, you know, in social media intake, but like specifically news through social media intake, is first of all to try and like manage it, like regulate it, so that I feel like I'm going to sound like one of those really annoying people when I say this, but I try to not make Twitter the first thing that I open in the morning, like while I'm still laying in bed. And I think sometimes people sound really like self-righteous and superior when they say that, but
yeah.
I do feel better throughout the day if I just like give myself a little bit of time to like wake up before I do that, and like not do it right before bed, because then I stay up later than I intended to, and it's not productive time. And I just,
how do you personally know for yourself when you've like hit the wall of like, actually past this point my brain is it's saturated and I like can't take in more things? That's, I feel like, a question that I'm trying to figure out for myself.
I don't know if I do know in the moment. You know what I mean? It's like when I'm eating something that is delicious, mm-hmm. and I just like, I don't really like, there's no point where I'm like, okay, well, I have, am full, like I don't need to eat mm-hmm. anymore. Past this point, I will feel bad. Like my brain doesn't necessarily do that. I'll just keep going. And I mean, I'll enjoy it. That's different than scrolling on Twitter. But I don't know if there's like a conscious where I'm like scrolling where I'm like, okay, this is it done. And anything past this is not productive. I think it's more of a feeling like when I close the app where I'm like, I just spent.
How bad do I feel?
Yeah. How much time did I just like just vanished into that black hole? And did I learn anything? Not really. I don't think I always need to learn something, but
yeah,
I think you know what I mean.
I think there's also something, I think you know what I mean? That's also a call to that, like, I think that came from me, that just, like, in letter after letter, I would, like, both of us, I think, would, like, just, like, start writing something, and then it would be, like, get to a point where it's, like, I don't want to, it's too complicated, but I think you probably know what I mean. And it's, like, well, then why'd you just spend a page and a half on that? Like, come on. But always a joy to read. But what I was going to say is that I think that there's also, I think sometimes, and maybe this isn't a bad direction to overcorrect in, but sometimes for me, when I think about the question of like, how do you cope with dystopia? I think about hope, but I think about hope in the sense of like, right, there's like, I think people see people who do things in the world and they're like, okay. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that there's, I think, a convenient, cynicism that people can have that's like, oh, I like, I'm just pessimistic about the world, like, ugh, everything is terrible. And then, and this is something that Rebecca Solnit points out in Hope in the Dark, which I don't remember if you've read or not, but people have that like pessimism, and then it means that like you don't have to take any action because you've already like precluded for yourself the like, oh, it's all really bad. And that on the flip side of that, if you're like a person, there's also the like a convenient optimism. Or like a naive optimism that's like, oh, things might be bad, but like, you know, the arc bends towards justice or whatever, which like also precludes you from action because you're kind of like, oh, I don't need to take action. Like things might be bad now, but like overall things are trending for the better. And that like there's the space that is in between those. And like in her writing of it, she's like, optimism and pessimism aren't actually opposites. They're kind of two things that are the same. And the actual opposite of that is like, is hope. And it's like the actual hard work of like, you create the conditions for hope and you create the reasons to be hopeful even when you don't see the path forward, but it's not a naive thing. It's not just like, I feel really hopeful that the world will feel better, but I feel like my, like in my ideal world, and I don't think that this is my current answer to this, but in my ideal world, the like, how do you cope with dystopia? Like is like, figuring out how to identify when I am in one of those, like, the, like, convenient optimism or pessimism versus when I am in the, like, fruitful between place.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. If that makes sense.
That does make sense. Yeah, I mean, like, I'm not the first person to say this, but, like, the arc doesn't bend towards justice and, like, unless it's being bent by people. Like, it doesn't just happen on its own, but...
So the like, yeah, I think also we don't have so much time to go into this a lot, but like I think also a question here is about like distraction, and like I think there's both the like distraction is important, it's important to not be like only consuming things that are like actively dystopic, whatever, and also that like distraction both is its own, or like maybe is its own, not dystopia is too strong a word, but like yeah, it's its own form of like, I don't know, I think all I'm trying to say is that distraction is not the ultimate good, even though that is something that like for me this year has been something that I am reaching to much more than I ever have before. Yeah.
And I think that can be like in when I'm, like, telling myself, oh, I'm, you know, I'm on Twitter to know what's going on. It's, like, it's all, I mean, it's also a distraction. It's
right.
also a way to, like, waste time and read mindless
right.
things. And so I think another, like, another sort of that way that I try to, like, manage my inundation.
With dystopia, yeah.
is to, like, read in depth and thoughtfully written news or, you know, current events or something. And that doesn't have to be from, like, a major news outlet. Often it's not. But just, like, to like, try and to step away from, like, just the people who are, like, tweeting sensationalist things or, like, you know, not thought. And Twitter isn't, like, designed for that often. But
yeah.
sometimes it is, and sometimes there are really, like, great threads that provide a lot of insight and context, but also
sorry, that was my phone telling me that I should announce the next thing soon, which is not yet, but go ahead.
I can definitely get sucked into the, like, oh my god, I saw this headline, and, like, can you believe this, but I didn't actually read it, I actually don't know anything about it.
I feel like one thing that you're saying, is that a healthy, potentially, or desirable. No, I actually okay. I'm gonna try this out.
That is true. But that like
a healthy way of dealing with dystopia is like, and this speaks to all the things that we've been talking about. But it's like depth rather than shallowness. Because with depth, you are like I feel like even when there's something that's really like terrible and bad in the world. And all I'm doing, like, okay, forget even the realm of, like, actually doing things about it. Like, actually take that out of the picture for a second. But in terms of, like, how I'm relating to that thing, like, when I'm just, like, reading lots of, like, short little Twitter headlines or whatever about it, I feel that pushes me into the, like, this is actively unhelpful and this is making me feel, like I'm stuck in this cycle and all this stuff. And then if I like am reading a long article or a long something or listening to something or talking to someone about it, like even just that, it's not that it makes me feel better, but it's that it feels like it puts me in the realm of like, I am coping with dystopia by living in the world rather than by like either skimming the top of the world or like removing myself from the world.
Yeah. I think that's a really good way to put it.
Which I hadn't thought about it until you just said that, which I was gonna say is the whole point of this show.
Amazing.
But something that I was talking about with Joanna last week on this show is that like that does feel like a thing that I feel like I'm missing and I feel like a lot of us are missing is the like things that happen even if you didn't set out to get that specific thing from a conversation, like that things that you like realize or understand after like an hour or whatever of conversation and that like that's missing in the pandemic just based on how we can hang out with each other. And so another reason that I'm like, oh, what a fun opportunity to like talk to my friends who I don't usually talk to in this particular way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Wait, actually that's really, I'm like turning over. I feel like we hit gold just now. You thinking about when you're like reading long thoughtful pieces and that as like an antidote, I feel like is, yeah.
Like, we answered the question.
No, we didn't answer the question, but we did. But we actually did. I feel that I have moved meaningfully into a different phase of this question. And, like, also as a person who, like, keeps tabs open, like, long-form reading tabs open on my computer for, like, weeks and months. But that, like, what if some of my, not to be like, here's my action step, but, like, what if some of my Twitter time is that time? That's already something I've been thinking about, but, like, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, we have to close soon, so I want to ask, first of all, I'm going to keep saying it, I want to apologize to you again and to listeners, for tech issues, and sorry that I only figured out where to hold the mic for Ellen on the phone towards the end. Ellen, you'll have
That's
to come back
right.
another time for us
it
to...
It was less pressure on me.
Yeah, there you go. It's still going to be out there forever. So I want to ask if there, what is a, and in brief, sorry, but like, what is a question that you have been thinking about, of late?
Where do I want to live is a big one for me right now.
Yeah.
And then I think always to some extent, some variation on other one of the questions from the shortlist, which is how do I decide what to do with my time? And
yeah.
Whether that is paid time or just
yeah time
right I don't know how
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
Also, how do I make myself want to do things that I probably should?
Evergreen.
Yeah.
And then any rapid fire one person who you would love to hear on the show.
Oh, one person that I would love to hear on the show. Oh my God. I'm done. I can't handle rapid fire.
No? Okay. You can text me after.
Okay.
Okay. Everyone, this has been another hour of Midwave Radio of Big Little Questions. Questions by me, Dee Dee, artwork by Lila, thoughts in this episode by Ellen. Shout out to Midwave Radio, and you can tune in next week on Wednesday from 9 to 10 at midwaveradio.com. My guest next week will be my friend Iman, who is a friend from Minerva. And I am really, really excited to talk to her and to hear her thoughts and for all you guys to hear her thoughts on things. And if you have thoughts or feedback, as always, this show is still in beta testing. So I don't think there's anyone who's listening who doesn't know how to reach out to me. So go ahead and reach out. Tell me your thoughts. And next up is Perfectly Balanced as All Things Should Be with Parker. So Parker, I'm going to hand it over to you. Hopefully by next week I'll have an outro music, so if you have thoughts on that, hit me up. Okay, Ellen, much love. Listeners, so much love. Peace. I'm going to stop the thing now. And scene.